The following story has been brought to you by StoriesToInspire.org.
I'll give you a few stories to illustrate this in Rabbi Saul Salanter's life. They're all sort of similar, but equally inspirational, at least in my humble estimation. One story is that he was at a chasana and he was going to wash to make hametzi. And in the olden days, they didn't have, like we have, indoor plumbing that you're able to go to a sink and just turn it on and there's endless amounts of water coming out of the tap. In the olden days, they had a keg, like a big barrel of water, and there was a little spout on the bottom, like a little faucet on the bottom, and you would put your cup under it and you would open up the faucet and then you would shut it and then you would wash your hands. And this is what people were doing, like we have in our chasana. People lined up and they were washing their hands to make mitzvah. Rabbi Saul Salanter was a machmir. He was very machmir when it came to his mitzvahs, as you'd expect such a yid to be. But suddenly, peculiarly, he was filling up the cup, but like to a basic minimum, like whatever the shiur of netilas yadayim is, he was doing it just b'tzimtzum. So maybe he filled up of the cup, the washing cup, maybe he filled it up halfway. He didn't fill it up the whole way like everybody else was doing and trying to get all the biggest shiurim of netilas yadayim. He was doing it the minimal way. And there were people around and they were a little, you know, mystified by this. Like, why wouldn't Rabbi Saul Salanter be extra machmir? And they asked him, Rabbi Saul, like, why aren't you filling it up to the top? So he says, let's think about this a second. When this water in the barrel is depleted, what happens? The person, the schlepper, the water schlepper, the water carrier, which was like the most demeaning of positions, it was like the most labor intensive and you didn't need any chachma to do it. And so they gave it to the schlepper of the city. He was going to have to bring this barrel down to the spring, down to the river, down to the lake and fill it up again and bring it back up. I should be machmir. I should fill up my cup of netilas yadayim to the tippy top, to the brim, to get all the shittas, to get all the chumras on his back. If I do that and everybody does that, then he's going to have to more quickly go down and refill the barrel, schlep it back up, and again schlep it back up. He says, I'm not going to be machmir on Yanim's cheshbon. For somebody else to have to do manual labor and to schlep because of me, that's not going to happen. Because Rabbi Yisrael understood that as chashuv as it is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be parsech and afayim lamala, but you always have to have pnei mishalachav. You always have to have at the same time an eye to understanding what the human toll is going to be as a result of my frumkeit. Rabbi Saul Salanter used to say another thing, that when he was making shmurah matzahs, so he would go to the matzah bakery, and he would be, let's say, the head of the chabura. If anyone's ever been to a matzah bakery, they have, like almanas generally, working widows that are working. They're the ones that are kneading the dough, and they're rolling the pins, and they have other people putting the dough into the ovens and taking it out of the oven. It has to be done very quickly, expeditiously, 18 minutes. And they asked Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was the head of, he was overseeing this chabura of shmur matzahs. They're asking him, Rebbe, what's the kavana that we have to have? What's your, like, kavana when we're making matzahs? Is it zeich lisias mitzrayim? Is it akar satayb? Is it chipazin? What tell us a yisai that we should think about as we're baking our shmur matzahs? What should be our haicha kavanas, our deep, profound, elevated kavanas? He says, I'll tell you what your kavanas should be. That when you're baking the shmur matzahs, and there are these almanas and yisaimim that are the ones that are rolling the things, and people are tempted to scream at them, you know, hurry up, we got to get into the oven on time, and they're oppressing them, and they're being over the lav of kol yasem almana leisan, and don't oppress the widow and the orphan, be nice to them, be kind to them. That's my kavana. My kavana is that when I'm baking matzahs, I'm not going to step, I'm not going to trample upon the widows and the orphans that are busy rolling out the matzahs. That's not what I'm going to do. That's my kavana. My kavana is, as I'm baking the matzahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to bake shmur matzahs. That's fine. Beautiful. And I want to be very machmir, but not on the expense of these simon almanis. They start screaming at them, hurry up, and you're doing it too slow, and we're going to get somebody else, and all of these oppressive lines. Abusive lines that people are saying, and they think it's okay. I'm making shmur matzah, so everything, it all's fair. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's the kavana that Rishal Salanter had as he was baking shmur matzahs. You have to be parsech and afayim, but not if it's at the expense of pnei mishal alacha. If it's only valuable, the mitzvahs that we do are only valuable if it's done through the constant reminder and carefulness that we're not going to hurt somebody else in the process.
Enjoyed this story? Come again. Bring a friend. StoriesToInspire.org.